Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are the Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.
Hey, Roy, was there any particular significance to you kissing the court when you left?
Yeah, we only lost one game there. And always thought I loved the home arena and what we were doing. And this year, the home court was not fans. It was the familiarity of the basket, familiarity with the floor, familiarity with the backdrop, background. And I'd like to go back over and play that Marquette game again, but it's not like golf. You don't get a mulligan.
Roy Williams was quick with names and good with a whistle. The story of how he made it to the top with two of the blue blood programs in college basketball has been told. But not like this, and not with this type of honesty and insight from that dadgum legend himself. Now, the Roy That Dadgum Legend podcast.
There's a bar at the Jersey Shore in Manasquan. It's called Leggett's. When it's time for everyone to go home, they play the Star Spangled Banner. If only coaching was as easy as a late night at Leggett's. How do you know when it's over? There isn't a sign as conspicuous as a closing song, but there are cues. They're not always easy to decipher, though. Mike Schmidt, arguably the greatest third baseman in baseball history, ended his Hall of Fame career after a Monday road game in San Diego, 42 games into the 1989 season. Johnny Unitas and Joe Montana, they had to finish their Hall of Fame football careers outside of the cities that they made famous. Coaches, even the best, get pushed out all of the time before they want to go. Say hello to Bobby Bowden. Really, only Dean Smith left on his terms. And later, he admitted he probably had a few more seasons in him. The decision on April 1st for Roy Williams wasn't easy. He actually thought about shutting it all down after the 2019-20 season, his only losing season in 33 years as a head coach. But he was talked out of it. Actually, his wife Wanda had suggested back after the 2009 team roared through the NCAA tournament for Williams' second NCAA title that he call it a career then. Think about what he would have missed. And that's the rub for the greats. They all believe they have one more run in them. All too often, they can't figure out that they don't until it's too late. It wouldn't have been right for Roy Williams to walk away after the 2020 season. Coming back and getting UNC to the tournament in 2021 in an odd pandemic season where up was down and everything was backwards, that wasn't easy. But it was enough for Williams to read the cues and walk off the Smith Center floor and kiss it goodbye one last time.
Let's go to the end.
Yep.
You said you considered, or Wanda wanted you to consider retiring after 09. Mm. Did you give it? First of all, that team was amazing. Yeah. I don't think I'm pointing out the anything
pretty obvious.
Did not know. many would point out that was your best team. So there is a train of thought there that you had this spectacular season. You just destroyed everybody but LSU in that tournament. So maybe you say, you know what? Pretty great time to go out. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was some of her thought process too. But did you give it any serious consideration?
At least 3 seconds.
Three.
Okay. At least three. You know, and what she wanted, she didn't really care that much about giving up coaching because we'd won. It's just that she thought it was wearing on me, and I was getting older faster than other people, and that the losses had gotten worse and worse and worse, and that, okay, now you could go out on top, and you're losing a lot of guys, and, you know, this kind of thing. But, no, it was, I listened to her and shook my head yes, and but said, honey, I'm not ready yet.
You told the great Bill Knack once that I don't have nightmares because I don't sleep. And it's because of that, mm-hmm. your obsession with losing. Mm-hmm. Coach Smith even worried about you and how hard you took each loss. How did you ever, I don't think you did actually. How did you ever square?
Never have.
That at some point you do have to lose.
Yeah. I've never been able to handle that. And even, you know, I don't have many regrets about what happened in my career. The biggest regret, I even admitted it at the Hall of Fame induction in 2007, was the sadness or the sorrow or the guilt that I had about not being able to get the 97 team, 98 teams. Those, I mean, we lost like, we were like 69-6 in those 2 years, but I never got either one of those teams to the Final Four. That was the biggest guilt or sadness or whatever. But right now, as I said, I don't have many regrets, but I hate the way that the Wisconsin game ended. And to me, that was probably the biggest factor in saying, well, no, let's try it again. But I knew it was time because I didn't feel like I'd gotten the guys to buy in like I'd been able to do in the past.
It's crazy if you think about if you had even thought about retiring after 09 and what you would have missed, right? And let's be honest, it wasn't all champagne and roses in the 2010s.
Yeah.
There was the NCAA investigation, which I'm sure you took as there just, it would seem to me from the outside that there was no way you were going to leave the program that was built by Coach Smith, that you had came back in at the after 03 and really got back to a point where it should be. So in just from the outside again, it would look to me like there was no way you were going to leave during any of that until that was settled. Does that square process at the time?
Oh, no question about it. I had a couple more NBA offers during that time period, and two of my friends said you ought to go right now because you had nothing to do with this scandal. And I hated even using that terminology, but
the junk, as you like to call
it. That's the better terminology. That's probably the only time you've ever heard me use the word scandal.
Speaking of being stubborn, that probably helped you during all of that because you were not able to recruit the same way that you were at different points in your career. And you've often made the point like, I tried to get Zion Williams. I tried to get these other five-star guys. But with all that going on, that you weren't able to.
Yeah.
I also wonder, though, speaking of stubborn, I'm guessing the anytime you hear Roy knew, you probably, that probably made you go even more.
I wanted to fight anybody that ever said that. I really did because I didn't know, didn't have any idea. I mean, am I supposed to go ask a professor, how are you teaching? I mean, he'd blast me just like if a professor walked out on the court and said, Coach, why aren't you doing this? I'd tell him which way to go, how quickly he could get there, you know, that kind of thing. And so every move in made in college athletics in not just 10 years, probably the last 30 or 40 years, is stay out of the academic side. You know, let the teachers teach. You stay out of the academic side. Emphasize to your players, go to class, do their job. Do not call professors. And I mean, I've called professors when I was at Kansas. How can I help you? Evidently, he's not doing a very good job. How can I help you? What is his biggest weakness? I'm on your side. And every one of them loved that. But all of a sudden, we get back here, and the academic side was not even inside the athletic department. We had no say. And so, no, I was hesitant even when I was at Kansas, but everybody loved my approach because I would say, right off the bat, I'm on your side. I want him to get his degree. In fact, the admissions director at Kansas, when I came back here, the admissions director at Kansas sent a note to the admissions director here, your job just got easier. Coach Williams doesn't want you to let anybody in that you don't want to. He wants to get better students. And if somebody had, it would have been bad.
But in some ways, that kind, you have to take every situation as a learning situation or to try to make it a positive. Isn't that what you did in 16 and 17?
Yeah, I think
in the way that team really came together, stayed together.
Yeah, it was without saying it this way, it was a little bit of us against the world. You know, and I told the guys all the time, particularly Joel, Justin, and Theo, they had already committed to us when it came out, but they could have changed. And I said, these guys stuck with us. It's going to work. I promise you, it's going to work. And it's us against everybody else. Now that the redemption thing, I'm extremely honest. I'd never even heard that word till we get to the Final Four, but the players had, and that was okay.
Now, Chilio, we titled this episode of That Dadgum Legend Podcast, The End. The thing is, there's been multiple versions of the end for Roy Williams. I mean, Roy references the times that he could have left for the NBA. That's a different kind of end. That's ending his tenure at North Carolina, but the coaching continues. But once he decided to stay at Carolina, it then shifted to, okay, when is he going to retire? And I feel like the first version of when will Roy retire was in the thick of the NCAA scandal, especially in 2014 after the Weinstein report came out, where Roy Williams likes to reference he was only named once or whatever it was. But it really did kickstart this. Do you really want to deal with this? Do you really want to recruit against this? This doesn't look fun for you anymore.
I think one thing you should always remember about Roy Williams is the primary motivation for him, not only for coming back to Carolina, but staying at Carolina, was to restore, repair, put Carolina back into a place where Dean Smith had built them up to. Like, he took that as a personal responsibility. Never mind any of the connections from the African-American, you know, studies department at North Carolina that go back to Dean Smith or John Swofford or anything like that. This was always about with Roy, and that's where that stubborn streak goes. He was never going to leave that program, no matter how many times Wanda told him, you know, hey, you won this thing in 09, get the heck out, yeah. Right? Go out on top.
Yeah.
And then you get into the heart of that, the NCAA issues, the junk, the scandal, as he finally uses with us, and you realize he was always going to see that through.
Yeah, let's go back to 2014. Adam Gold and I are at ACC tip-off, the media day that typically happens in October. It was, I would argue, the most definitive conversation we've had with Roy Williams, or really anybody's had with Roy Williams.
Give yourself some credit, because at the time, you got to remember, he was only doing, like, he did this post-game stuff, but it was like, or the only other availabilities were like at the Final Four, and people were like trying to, you know, give him the jump at the Final Four. So you guys, you and Adam Gold, really had one of the rare interviews where he was actually asked by somebody not affiliated with UNC about everything that was going on.
Is there a breaking point for you as a head coach where all the surrounding drama that you've dealt with the last 2 years is just not what you thought it would be at Carolina at this point?
You know, I'll answer that two or three ways. Number one, what got Coach Smith out of coaching was the other junk. And it wasn't anything like this. Not saying that by any means, but it was media, it was alums, it was recruiting. It wasn't coaching. So what has that made me do? Because I do learn, and I have tried to learn a great deal from Coach Smith. I focus so much on coaching. I love being on that court. When I chewed J.P. Tokoto's butt out the other day, I loved it. All right, so I love that part. That's what's sustaining me. And then the second thing, you know, I told you last 16 months, if that had been my first 16 months, I would not have been doing it right now. But I know the rewards you get. I got a letter from a former player in the last week that meant more to me than anybody can ever imagine. And, you know, you got to fight your battles and try to fight the war later on. I believe from the bottom of my heart that when Roy Williams stops coaching, that his players will appreciate everything I tried to do. And I can live with that.
Obviously, Roy sticks it out. Recruiting does not go the way that he's used to recruiting going. The things had shifted to Duke with the one-and-done era. But a funny thing happened along the way. He wasn't getting the top recruits, and he always told you, I want to go get those top recruits. But instead what happened is he gets a special group of guys who stuck it out, guys who actually stuck around for 3 to 4 years, and they get to the Final Four in 2016, the championship in 2016, and the retirement talks started again. You talk about those NCAA settings. I don't think people understand that throughout the NCAA tournament, you have these required media availabilities.
And which Roy loathed.
And the context for this one is that Jim Boeheim, who's also going through some of his own scandals at that time, he's been asked, when are you going to retire?
Roy Williams also is being asked these questions too, because, hey, man, you powered through the NCAA scandal, and here you are with this unique group that stuck with you playing eventually for a championship, which obviously they ended up losing in a dramatic game against Villanova. And Roy was absolutely not having it.
I was back there listening to Jimmy's questions. Jimmy told you to stop asking him about retirement. He said, ask Roy. You have asked me that question five times since I got into town. If I'm going to retire, I think I'll retire in the next 2 minutes. Now, how good do you think the chances are of me going to retire in the next 2 minutes? So don't ask that stupid question either. Other than that,
of course, we now know the rest of the story. They lose in the championship game. They come back in 2017. That's the redemption year. You're thinking, man, your third national title. Like, you got through the NCAA junk. You come through with a championship with this group that you absolutely love. Why wouldn't you walk away? But he didn't.
Yeah, and this is where his relationship with, I think, Theo Pinson and Joel Berry in particular. And that's not to sell any of the other players that he's had in his career short. I just think those two guys, the way, Theo with the personality, obviously, Theo was the good cop, right? And Joel was always a little bit of the bad cop. They had the yin and yang going, and Theo had a way with the needle with Roy that I don't think any of his other players ever did. And I think he was at peace. That was the season I covered North Carolina. I covered Roy Williams that year. Was the 2017-18 season. They were seniors. And Luke May really kind of flourished that year, too. And he obviously loved Luke May as well. You know, the famous, is he a walk-on? Was he a walk-on? Not a walk-on. This, you know. But the true Luke May story, of course, is also definitive of Roy Williams, right? Here's this guy he kept giving minutes to, and fans were grumbling about, why are you letting this guy, why are you putting him on the floor? He can't play defense. He can't do this. And what does he do? He hits the second most famous shot in the history of North Carolina basketball to send the 17 team into the Final Four and on their way to a championship. So that was Roy kind of in a nutshell. That those 16, 17, 18 years, and just to realize how at peace he was after that third championship. It took Mike Krzyzewski, really? I think until the 10 championship to get to that point where he was like, you know what? It doesn't really matter what anyone else says anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, and you would think about that. That was four for K. Like,
that was four for K, and it also had to do with the type of team he had in 2010.
Which is when you grind like these guys do, and you take the losses so personally like these guys do. Like, you think about it, like, we talk about the greatest winning percentages in NCAA history. Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski are on the top of that list for a reason, because they can't let the Tuesday night game against Boston College go. They refuse to let their players treat it any differently, too.
It's funny you mentioned the grind, though, because the grind came back for Roy.
The Theo Joel group, they lose to Texas A&M second round in Charlotte, right? The next year, though, he had another one of those special players, Kobe White, who had his own, you know, personal tragedies in his life, that Roy developed a relationship with him at a young age. And honest to God, they didn't think Kobe White was going to be one and done.
No.
He comes in and it was just an absolute revelation, right? Had the crazy hair. Talk about great personalities.
If it wasn't for Zion Williamson at Duke, Kobe White is the biggest thing in college basketball.
And almost criminally completely overshadowed.
Why I joked that Carolina was under the radar that year.
By Zion Williamson and the show that was going on at Duke. But that's still a fun year for Roy, right? Then, through no fault of Cole Anthony's, right? He's not Kobe White. Then he has some injuries early in that year. That 19-20 season really turned out to be just a full-on disaster, because I feel like Cole Anthony was good early. Obviously not Kobe, but he was good early. Then he gets hurt. Then you have to kind of redo how you process basketball. That was the year Garrison Brooks really came on when Kobe was out. Oh, excuse me, when Cole Anthony was out. Then Cole Anthony comes back, and they just can never really figure anything out. And Joe, that year is...
Joe, they lost to Clemson at home.
I know. And
it
that
happened.
It did. And that's the year... I left the News and Observer and I came to work for Capital Broadcasting. And the day I went over to talk to Roy Williams, it was before they played Duke for the second time. And we spent like 30 minutes talking down in the basement of the Smith Center. And I just remember how, you know, how defeated he was at his retirement press conference. Mm-hmm. That's the way he was that day. And I'm sitting there going, I'm Joe Giglio, random nobody. I'm trying to give him the pep talk, right? I'm like, Roy, you got three of these things, man. Come on, snap out of it. You're one of the best to ever do this, man. But he took losing so personal that it didn't matter all of the other accomplishments in his career because he was so caught up in that team and trying to fix that team. Think about it, Joe, 32 years, not a single losing season. Not even the NIT year, right? Like he wanted to win the NIT. And yeah. Everyone, the year after they won it in 9, they go end up in the NIT. And he's like, I was the only one who wanted the NIT. He's like, I would have put that banner next to the other ones. I didn't care because if you're going to turn the scoreboard on, I want to win. And that's how he was always wired. And that's why that season, even before it was shut down by the pandemic, I think that season was so much more difficult on him than people realize.
Our very first show, you cashed in that favor and Roy Williams joined the program. And I think you were still trying to give him a little bit of a pep talk.
Roy, you mentioned the season and the ending there. You're such a competitor that there was a brief moment in December, maybe after the UCLA or Yale wins, where I was thinking, you know, maybe you're welcoming this challenge because it is such a change of pace. Maybe even dare say enjoy the new challenge. But I'm guessing the Clemson game changed all of that.
Well, there were a lot of games that changed all that. The Clemson game, you know, I really, we left the huddle and I didn't remind them that I wanted them to foul. And we had talked, we'd even practiced it the day before. But I didn't remind them. And then against Duke, we did do it and it didn't work either time, you know. So, but there was, I think it was either 5 or 6 losses in the last minute. And most of the time we just didn't get a stop. You know, a couple of times we had a wild shot or something that would have helped. But I may have said this at a press conference my first year as one of Coach Smith's assistants in 1978-79 season. We won 5 games where the other team had the last shot, and they missed all 5. And so that was the difference in Roy Williams and Dean Smith. That's better coaching to get those guys to miss all those shots. We even played Virginia Tech. They were not in the ACC at that time. We played them in a north-south doubleheader. That their best player was on the free throw line with 0-0 on the clock. And I think it was a 2-shot foul, but I know where there's 1 or 2 he missed and we won it in overtime. So it was one of those kind of years that everybody says, oh, that'll be good for you. I didn't enjoy it at all, Joe. I really didn't. It was, I lost weight more than I've ever lost during a basketball season. I slept less than I ever have, and I don't ever sleep a lot, but it was a hard year. But it was, we had a lot of injuries. We didn't play well. I didn't coach as well as I wanted to, but it was not much fun other than trying every day. And I love trying to do the best I can and trying to get the kids to do the best they can. And I don't think we ever gave up. It looked like it in some ways in the Syracuse game in the tournament. That's the reason I wish that they were going to call it off. They'd have called it off, you know, 18 hours earlier.
Roy, people have a tendency to get mad at you for odd reasons. Uh-huh. This year, it was the least gifted comment that you made on your radio show. Now, my question for you, what was dumber, the people getting mad about the Kansas sticker from the 08 title game or the brouhaha over this least gifted comment?
Okay, what was the question? Which one do I think was worse?
Yeah, which was dumber
which
for people to overreact?
That's 1A and 1. Because, I mean, seriously, I say things because I say what I believe. I don't make things up. But in 1993, North Carolina beat my Kansas team. And I asked my high school coach to stay around with me so we could see Coach Smith possibly win his second national championship. And I'm up there waving the Carolina blue and white pom-pom. I really am. All right. So then fast forward to going, walking down to my seats, which people said I was sitting in the family. So I was sitting in my family's situation, North Carolina sections where I was sitting. But I was walking down and one of my former players said, Coach, will you put this on? And handed me a sticker. And I said, yes, and put it on. And as I'm walking down, I said, somebody's going to get ticked about that. But I looked down on the Kansas bench and there were 3 people there that I had either coached or recruited or that had been a manager for me or something. And I just thought, hey, the heck with it, because this is not wrong. So that was the thing that bothered me there. I didn't think I'd done anything differently than either situation. In this one, it was, I've had teams with four or five, I don't know if we've ever had six, but maybe we've had six McDonald's All-Americans on the team. And that's one way to judge the talent when coming in. I'm not saying it's good or bad. But Cole was hurt at that time, so yeah. Armando was the only one that we had on the court. And so I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I used that terminology when we beat Gardner-Webb. I said we should have won. We were more gifted. That wasn't saying anything negative. It was just, in my mind, being truthful. When we played Elon, I said the same thing. But no, I'd say 1 and 1A as far as I'm concerned, but everybody's got their right to their opinion.
Did you know that your unused medications could end up in the wrong hands? It's important to keep your medication secure in a locked location, such as a locking box or locking cabinet. When it's time to dispose of them, safely and properly dispose of old, expired, or unused meds by using an at-home disposal product or a medication disposal box in your community. Don't miss out on medication take-back events happening near you. Don't let anyone take what's yours. Lock your meds. Be aware. Don't share. Learn more at lockyourmeds.org/NC.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are The Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.
Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about the accomplishments, how competitive he is, but there's two versions to Roy Williams. There's the competitor, which we can all see, but then there's Roy Williams, the true Carolina man. And I don't think Roy Williams gets enough credit for repairing North Carolina from where it was, from the Dean Smith to Guthridge era through the Matt Doherty years, which that's another podcast altogether. But when Roy Williams came back, he had a lot more to do than just win.
Roy Williams smiles more easily today as he talks with us about his first 2 weeks as the North Carolina basketball coach. But leaving Kansas is something he still thinks about.
We haven't taken the time yet to celebrate. We haven't taken the time yet to feel good because we've been working so hard. But then also, you know, you have that buyer's remorse. You have that feeling that you left something.
And while Kansas, in Williams' 15th year, nearly won it all, North Carolina, under Matt Doherty, nearly came apart at the seams.
February, March, and April were stormy months in Chapel Hill, literally and figuratively. Those months were marked by player unhappiness with Matt Doherty's coaching style and controversy within the UNC basketball family over whether Doherty should be retained. Well, now it's May. Roy Williams is here, and the sun is out. He hopes, literally and figuratively.
What went on with Matt, I never would have imagined in my wildest dreams could ever go on at North Carolina. There were so many different factions pulling. It was more political than I ever thought the North Carolina basketball program would be, and just not everybody on the same page.
April 14th, Williams, still torn about leaving Kansas, walked into Carolina's House Divided, conjuring up the notion of another UNC alumnus from Asheville that you can't go home again. Roy Williams, the optimist, has an answer for Thomas Wolfe.
For me, you know, I think I can go home again. It's something that was a dream, and 3 years ago I said no, and I thought that, you know, that I would never have that because I never expected it to happen again. And this time I said yes, and the people have been great. I hope they'll continue to be great, and even more importantly, hope they'll still feel good 3 years from now.
Bob Holliday, WRAL Sports, Chapel Hill.
One thing I think you have to understand with Roy Williams and how his understanding of Carolina basketball and Dean Smith and having a mentor like that, having your hero be your mentor, right? This is not just some random person who's your mentor. This is your hero. When you have that, It's not that you don't want to fail them. It's you want to do everything in your power to make sure that you're kind of proving to them, you see, I learned. I was paying attention. I know what we're supposed to be doing. And I think it wasn't just Matt Daugherty, because you remember with Bill Guthridge, longtime lieutenant, Dean Smith, he takes over the best team in the country. Mm-hmm. Joe, he goes to the Final Four twice in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And the Carolina fans turned on him.
Yeah.
In a way, that hurt both Dean Smith and Roy Williams.
A lot of people point to recruiting falling
sure.
out under Guthridge. And that, sure. Look, understandable, but you're right in the way it turned on a guy yeah. who took him to two Final Fours.
Think about that 2000 Final Four in particular. And I've made this point to people over at Carolina before. We don't even remember that Final Four team as an 8 seed. If NC State or any other ACC team other than Duke had taken an 8 seed to the Final Four, there would be a statue out in front of the building of that coach, right? But Carolina's history is so rich that there are times where you forget. And I think Roy did such a unbelievable job of repairing the family that we forget all of the work that he had to do in order to accomplish that.
We talked to former athletics director Dick Bedore, who was told no once, and then eventually Roy Williams comes back, and we asked him about that job, that repairing of the Carolina family.
I'm wondering if we don't give Roy enough credit. You know, we give him credit for the wins and the titles and the Final Fours and all these things. But when you brought him in 2003, he really had to repair some of those family ties and the true Carolina spirit there. And I think that's kind of gotten overlooked. It's been 17 years now, 18 years now. Do you think he gets enough credit for mending those fences and bringing the people from the program back together the way that he did?
Well, it's a great point, and now it's taken for granted, but you're right to reflect on it back 18 years ago, because it was fractured and it needed some help, and he had seen it in its heyday, and so he knew exactly what to do, and he started a program to reach out to the Carolina family and meeting that in many different ways. And as much as Coach Smith and Roy are alike, they are also very different. And they start off with the same foundation and they kind of end up in the same place, but they go about things in a different way. And Roy brought his personality to the table. And he was just so very successful at it. I mean, it's just been a joy to watch. And he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he should get credit for that.
And this also came out in the retirement press conference as well. You know, Bubba Cunningham, the current athletics director at North Carolina, went so far to talk about family, but also Roy Williams and his connection to all of Carolina athletics.
Most recently, there was a gift announcement that it took a lot of twisting of arms and cajoling to get you to allow us to announce that. But that inspires others to do so. And the generosity doesn't stop at that gift. But I can remember the excitement of our women's tennis team when they were told that they had an extra year of eligibility through yours and Wanda's generosity to give them a fifth year to compete because COVID shut it all down. But many people don't know that you give gifts annually to almost every program we have each year. You have supported them financially. You have attended all of their events. You have led this department through servant leadership and an example that is second to none. I congratulate you on a great career. I'm really disappointed that it won't be longer.
Of course, the funny thing about this, Julio, is if you ask Roy Williams about the money, he's going to tell you it ain't his call.
It's amazing to think about Roy and Wanda's relationship all through these years, right? And he referenced it in episode one, where he talks about leaving his high school job, where, remember now, Wanda was an English teacher, so they had two incomes to go and make $2,700 as a assistant for Dean Smith. I said to him, that's love. And then you realize the commitment on the other end and what they have both meant to North Carolina, because it's not just, he made a point when that came out, like he did not want that information out there.
No.
Right? But he made a point that Wanda's name's on there too. because of she went to Carolina and for her and her love for her school.
I've got some really bad news for you.
Okay.
You mentioned your wife, Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
You can't call her Wicked Wanda anymore, man.
Why?
$3 million? You gave $3 million to the university, right?
Well,
and you're married, Joe's married, I'm married. We all know who has to sign off on a $3 million gift,
Roy.
We
know the deal.
I mean, hey, I'm surprised you put your name on that one.
You know, let me put it to you this way, okay? Over the years, and she, somebody knew what was going on with it, because it's been like 5.8 over the 18 right. years. But understand this, guys. I don't know how much money I have, but I know that she's rich. Okay. Guys, we've been married 48 years. I've written 6 checks in 48 years. 5 of the 6 were at golf tournaments that I was playing in. I just didn't know who to make it out to. So she put the dollar amount and signed her name, but I had to write who it was to. So I don't do anything financially without Wicked Wanda saying, okay. And I don't mind telling you, even the, whether it was last spring for the scholarship for seniors or this one, she feels just as good about it as I do. The only negative is I was perfectly content for not anybody know, and she was too.
Yeah,
we didn't care if anybody knew, but our people in endowment and development, they think it'll help bring some other people in. And I have had 2 people call and say, we saw what you did and we're going to do something too. So I guess they know what they're doing, but no, Wicked Wanda makes all the decisions that are not important. I make the decisions. You know, I run the dishwasher in the house, and I run the vacuum cleaner, and I run things. But she makes all the important decisions.
At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So let's go back to the beginning of the end. Kissing the floor. I will admit that I did not think anything of it, but I will also admit that I am not as immersed in Carolina lore like a lot of my friends are. And I had a couple of text messages from people who I would consider hardcore Carolina fans who, after Roy Williams kissed the floor, they were like, it's over. It's a wrap. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Even the governor of North Carolina, Roy Cooper, one of the biggest North Carolina fans we know, he had a feeling something was up when we asked him about it back in April.
So I suspected something when he kissed the court. You just don't normally do that. And I just thought that he was probably wrestling with it. I was surprised, but, you know, upon reflection, it was time for him to do it. It's his own personal decision. I'd like to see him coach another decade. Matter of fact, I texted him so that I'd love to see him coach another decade.
Okay, so Anton Jameson, who I would argue is the best player in UNC history. I know that says a lot, but I would make the argument. You can make the argument. After they lost to Utah in the Final Four in 1998, he walks off the floor, goes to the logo at the Alamo Dome, and kisses the logo on the floor before he walks off the floor. Many people at the time were like, wait a second, we've seen that before. Where have we seen it? Carolina fans in particular were like, wait a second, we've seen this before. We know what this means. Like, when he did it, every Carolina fan was like, okay, he's going pro.
Yeah.
And you got to remember at that time, we were still in the, is he going to go? Is he not going to go? Like, it wasn't this one and done era that didn't exist, right? You have to go back to actually 1994, the very first time that Michael Jordan retired, okay? He left the NBA. He went and played baseball, minor league baseball. We know this. But he actually came back for a charity game for Scottie Pippen that was like the unofficial last game played at the old Chicago Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And after just absolutely tearing up these NBA players, he scored like 52 points in this crazy charity game, right? He made a point to go out to the center logo, the Bulls logo at Chicago Stadium, and kiss the floor and kiss the logo as a tribute to Chicago Stadium. Now, Jameson obviously kisses the floor because Jordan kissed the floor. Roy says he didn't know about Jameson, which, given the details that we have just unearthed in the first episode or two here, I kind of find. Now, Roy was at Kansas, in all fairness, right? He probably didn't watch the 98 Final Four because that was one of those teams that was one of his, you know, he said, I don't have many regrets, but that I couldn't win it at Kansas in 97, 98 is one of those. But yeah, I kind of find it hard to believe that a person who is a student of history wouldn't at least know the Jordan reference to kissing the logo.
Coming up next on the Roy That Dadgum Legend podcast.
But I didn't have anything to do with the junk. The first notice of allegation had my name in there one time, and it said, we interviewed Roy Williams. And the second notice of allegation, my name was never in there. And we had coaches around the country that names would be in there 20 and 30 and 40 times. I was not involved. Period. The end. And
at WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.